and read to us from Revelation.
The reading today is from Revelation, right at the back of the Bible, chapter 5, verses 1 to 10, and can be found on page 1236. That's Revelations chapter 5, 1 to 10, page 1236. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept, because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." This is the word of the Lord.
Is found in John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51, and this can be found on page 1064 of the Church Bibles. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord.
Challenged, be affirmed, be stretched, and go into this new year serving you and proclaiming who your Son is in our lives, with our words, with our actions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So good morning and a happy new year to you. If I haven't seen you already, when did you stop saying Happy New Year? And it's the 14th of January today. Can we still say it? I think we can. Happy New Year. I love this passage from John 1, and I've been looking forward to coming along today to Mige and sharing my thoughts and my understanding of it with you. And it feels like I haven't been at Mige for a while, so it's nice to be with you again. Thank you for having me back. I've got a great friend called Phil, same name as me. Phil Knox, and he works for the Evangelical Alliance, and he's a very gifted communicator, speaker and writer, and a very passionate evangelist. You spend 5 minutes in Phil's company, and oh, Jesus just leaks out from him. He's a lovely guy. And I'm reading a book of his at the moment, and don't worry, I'm not on commission. But it's just a great book, and it's all about friendship. It's called The Best of Friends, and working my way through that. And I was really challenged by a passage in Phil's book when he speaks about stepping out of your comfort zone and going beyond that circle of friends that you know and love and actually trying to make new friends and to make disciples. And he tells of a story where his, I think it was back in Lent last year, when his church were meeting at 6:30 in the morning, every morning to pray. And he got up every morning dutifully and bleary-eyed and walked past a bus stop on his way to church. And every morning he saw the same guy standing at the bus stop looking quite sad and probably looking a bit tired as well. And he thought, shall I speak to him? No, I won't. I won't today. And so it went on. Until one morning during Lent, he felt God say, you need to chat to this guy. So he thought, oh, okay. And, you know, Phil's a passionate evangelist, but even he felt a little bit daunted about this, 6:30 in the morning, complete stranger. Anyway, he went up to him and he said, hi, my name's Phil. I just want to let you know that God loves you. And if there's anything you'd like me to pray for you about today, then please tell me. Big sigh of relief because he said that opening gambit. And then he was expecting this guy to fall down on his knees and say, how must I be saved? Show me. And the guy responded, I'm sorry, mate. I don't speak English. And in that moment, Phil's world kind of disintegrated a little bit. And he felt really embarrassed. And the guy got on the bus because the bus came along and he went and didn't see him again. And he thought, well, what was all that about, God? You know, the big build-up over many days, seeing this guy and plucking up the courage to speak to him. And he rather wisely writes in his book, after recounting the story, it is in the moments outside the comfort zone where we step out in obedience, whatever the results, that God does a work in us, even if there is a perceived lack of results of his work through us. We do need to step out of the comfort zone, don't we? And this passage from John 1 is all about the power of invitation. So this morning, I want us to be inspired, number one, by Nathaniel's story. And I'm going to call him Nate because Nathaniel's got too many syllables in it and I'll keep tripping over it. All right? I want us to be inspired by Nate's story about his encounter with Jesus Christ. And I want us to be inspired by a man with a wonderful name, Philip. Do you know that Philip means lover of horses? Lover of horses. What a naff translation for a name. I've never even ridden a horse. But someone said to me once, your name means lover of horses, but you're also a lover of people. So I'm going to take that, all right? Philip is a lover of people. I'm going to reappropriate its meaning. So I want us to be inspired by Philip as well. But more importantly, not than his name, I want us to be inspired by the fact that he was someone who said, come and see, to his mates. And we know, don't we, that he went on to say, come and see to many other people, because he was a disciple sent out in the power of the Spirit. And if you don't know Jesus for yourself this morning here at Meadgate, I want you to be inspired that God knows you. He knows all about you. He knows your life, warts and all, and he loves you. He loves you with a never-ending love. He loves you, and he knows you like he knew Nate before Nate knew him. So let's dive into the story. Verse 43, Jesus finds Philip. Follow me, he says to Philip. Follow me. You know, there's power in Jesus' words, aren't there? Two words, follow me. Yes, Philip wasn't a robot. He could have used his free will to say, you know what, I don't really want to follow you, thanks. I'm going to find another rabbi to attach myself to. But there's power in Jesus' words. There's two other words that Jesus uses in the Garden of Gethsemane when the temple guards come out to arrest Jesus with Judas. And they say, are you Jesus of Nazareth? And he says, I am. And boom, they all hit the floor because he's echoing the great words of I am spoken to Moses, the burning bush. There's power in Jesus' words. Follow me. I think Philip was compelled to follow Jesus that day. He saw it in his eyes that there was someone different here, not like a usual rabbi. Verse 45, Philip does indeed follow Jesus, but he's not going to follow him without his mate Nate. He can't have Nate missing out. Imagine the excitement, right? You're Nate. You're sitting under the fig tree, minding your own business, thinking about whatever you're thinking about, and suddenly your mate Phil comes running towards you, and he's like wild-eyed, and he's shouting out, "Moses, Law, Prophets, Jesus of Nazareth." And you're sitting there thinking, what have you taken this morning, my friend? But Philip is there and he's shouting, "Look, we've found the one who Moses spoke about. We've found the one that the Law and the Prophets testify. We found Jesus of Nazareth, you know, the son of Joseph." Now remember, these weren't large village communities. Philip was from Bethsaida, one of the small villages around Lake Galilee and not far from Cana and Capernaum. They all probably knew each other in these local villages, and they would have known about Joseph. He would have been the one who disappeared down to Bethlehem with Mary, stayed away for a few years, came back from exile in Egypt and resettled in Nazareth. You know, the one who brought up that kid, yeah? They'd have all been aware of Joseph and certainly all aware of this guy called Jesus. So Philip is passionate about Nate coming to meet him, but Nate's got his excited mate eyeballing him, but he himself is a little bit perplexed by all of this and not a little cynical. "Nazareth, Nazareth," he replies. "Can anything good come from there?" Now, Nazareth was a backwater town, nothing special about it, although some people say there was a Roman garrison there, so there would have been a hodgepodge of pagan religion as well as the Jewish religion around, and it was a center of some trade routes. People would have been passing through, you wouldn't have seen that often, who weren't necessarily Jewish. There would have been people from all over the Mediterranean, and so there would have been a mixture of Roman presence and pagan religion, a bit of, you know, dubious morals floating around. So I guess, being from Cana, as we know from the end of John's Gospel that Nathan was, he probably looked down his nose a little at Nazareth. It's a bit like we do sometimes when we talk about Basildon. I wonder if you've ever had a cynical response from a work colleague when you've spoken to them about what you did at church on Sunday or the latest missional event that we've been doing here in Meagate. Has anyone ever looked down their nose at you at work? Or maybe a family member over Christmas heard that you went to church, and as you were, you know, fighting over the Brussels sprouts, they said something that was a little bit of a dig in your ribs at the fact that you have faith. Or maybe a real close friend has made you feel a little bit intellectually stupid for putting your faith in the supernatural when you should be putting it in rational thought and science and progress. If so, you're not alone. But what's the best response when people are like this with us? It's to be gracious. Yes, of course it is. But also, these three words, "come and see," because they're powerful words. Philip wasn't going to argue the toss with Nate that day when Nate was looking down his nose at Nazareth. He says, "Just come, will you? Come and see. Get off your butt, stop eating those figs, and walk with me." And he followed. To his credit, Nate followed Philip. And we cut to the next scene, and John tells us that as Jesus saw Nate approaching, in front of all of those who were gathered around Jesus, he says, "Here is a true Israelite. In him is no deceit." Wow, i.e., here's someone who recognized the things of God and whom God loves. Here's a guy of complete integrity. Look at this guy coming. Imagine Jesus saying this about you as you were walking towards him. "Here's Giles, everybody. I want to introduce you to Giles. He's such a great guy, a man of complete integrity. He loves God. I love this guy. I want you to meet him." Imagine that. But imagine you're Nate at this point. You're walking towards Jesus. He's saying all these amazing things about you. And you're like, "Sorry, what? Who are you? How do you know me?" How do you even know about me? Why are you saying these things? Imagine that. And then we get this supernatural dynamite that just goes off in Nate's heart. This charge is detonated in him that he knows cannot be anything but God speaking to him. When Jesus so calmly says, in response to his question, I saw you while you were sitting under the fig tree before Philip called you. I saw you. Now, at this point, Nate knows exactly what Jesus is talking about. This is supernatural knowledge that nobody could have known unless they were supernatural themselves. Because Philip and Nate arrive at the same time. It's not that Philip's run ahead and said, my friend Nate's coming in 5 minutes and he's under the fig tree. I hope he comes. I've told him to come. No, he followed Philip. They arrived at the same time. Jesus knew where he was before Philip called him. And so at that point, because he's had an encounter with the supernatural, Nate ditches all of the cynicism about Nazareth. And his response is, Rabbi, Son of God, King of Israel. I mean, that's quite a turnaround from Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Wow, he's had a real supernatural encounter. He's proclaiming that this guy that they know from Nazareth, son of Joseph, is Rabbi, Son of God, King of Israel. And Jesus says, you believe because of the whole fig tree thing, right, Nate? Well, you ain't seen nothing yet, son. And then we get the first use in John's gospel of that phrase, very truly, or as the Greek says, amen, amen. A phrase that is used 25 times in the Gospel of John. And Jesus always uses it when he's making a serious point. Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Wow. Now, do you remember the story of Jacob's ladder in Genesis 28 when Jacob's on the run from his brother Esau? Yeah? Well, this is what Jesus is alluding to here, talking about the angels of God descending and ascending on the Son of Man. Because Jacob, he's cheated his brother Esau out of his birthright. It's not looking good for Jacob. Esau's a little bit cross, and his mum and his dad say, I think you need to go. I think you need to leg it. And just get some space between you and your brother. Go to your uncle Laban's house and just be there for a while. That's the best thing for you. And on his way, Jacob stops for the night because he needs to go to sleep. And he has a dream, doesn't he? And in the middle of the night, this dream is of a stairway from heaven to earth. And angels ascending and descending upon this stairway. And Jacob wakes up and he says, wow, this place is special. This is none other than the house of God. This is Bethel, which is what it translates as. So he sets up a special altar there, and it's a marker in his life, a reminder to him of a powerful encounter with the supernatural. Now, when Jesus says to Nate about, you know, descending and ascending on the Son of Man and the whole Jacob's ladder thing, the Greek you is not in the singular. It's in the plural, humin. So he's not just speaking to Nate, he's speaking to all of them. He's saying, you lot will see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You'll see some great things. Now I've called you. Now I've amassed you all around me as my team. You're going to be my disciples, and you are going to see some important, powerful stuff happening. Jesus knew that they were all familiar with this famous story from their Jewish culture, and he wants them to recognize now that he, Jesus, he is that ladder. He is that place. He is the connection point between heaven and earth. He is the place of revelation. He is the one who is supernatural. And their adventure has only just begun. Now, Nate, he's already discovered this. He's had that supernatural conversation with Jesus. And is it any wonder then, in John 21, the end of John's gospel, that we find Nate again? He's in the boat. Now, some people say that he was Bartholomew. Same person. right? So Nate's in the boat, John 21, and they've all gone up to Galilee because the ladies who saw the resurrection, they went back and they said to the guys, you need to go up to Galilee. So up they go, and they're kicking about, and they're wondering what to do because they've just turned back up at Galilee, and they're fishing, and then there's that moment. They see the stranger on the shoreline calling to them. Friends, have you caught any fish? No. And, of course, you know the rest of the story. But Nate is one of those guys. He's gone the full 9 yards of discipleship with Jesus from beginning under the fig tree right to the end. And, of course, he would go on to follow him post-resurrection, post-Pentecost. So what do we do then with this wonderful encounter that we've heard of both Philip and Jesus and our friend Nate and Jesus? What do we do with this story? Because Jesus' use of the plural Greek here, it's also meant for us, isn't it? It's meant for us. We will see amazing things when we follow Jesus. When we come to Jesus, we discover, don't we, that he is the connection point for us between heaven and earth. He is the Son of God. And as we heard in our reading from Revelation 5, he's the only one who was worthy in heaven to open up the seals of that scroll, which will unlock events that will take place upon the earth in the future or whenever. It's so mystifying reading Revelation, isn't it? But he's the only one found worthy because he's the only one who shed his blood and could shed his blood by dying for us to bring us to eternal life. He's the only one who can bring about salvation. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. So that Greek, you, is meant for us. So what do we do then? Well, to those here today who would say they're not yet a Christian, or even that they're not sure they even want to be a Christian, I would say to you, has anyone asked you recently to come and see? Come and meet God. Has anyone asked you? Maybe they have. And that's why you're here today. Someone invited you to come to Meagate. Or maybe they haven't. You just feel compelled to come to church because you know that there's something in you that is stirring. There's something not quite right in the world. You know the world isn't as it should be, and you know there must be someone out there greater than me, greater than what I see around me. However you've come to Meagate today, don't let your stereotypes of church, of Christians, of religion get in the way of you seriously investigating who Jesus is. Don't do a Nazareth on Jesus. Now, Nate was surprised when Philip mentioned Nazareth because Nate had this preconceived idea, didn't he, of what Nazareth was like. He believed a stereotype. Yet when Philip said, come and see, Nate followed. He met Jesus and had a supernatural encounter with him. And I want to challenge you today, ignore your stereotypes of what you think Christians are like and what you think Christianity is like. Just come. Just come to Jesus as you are. Come to the table as you are and explore the facts about Christianity. I want to invite you to come and see by coming along to a course this Wednesday night called Hope Explored here at Meagate in the room behind me, 7:30 to 9:00. You watch a couple of film clips, a little discussion, drink tea and eat biscuits. That's not a difficult evening. But it might be in the sense that you'll be challenged, but you will have a spiritual encounter with the living Christ through that course. It's a course that will give you hope for your future based on reliable facts from the past that will change your present forever. Please come. Please come and see. And to the rest of us who would say you're devoted followers of Jesus, who are you bringing to Jesus right now? Who are you bringing to Jesus today? Who have you chatted to recently and said, come and see? Who have you had a conversation with at a bus stop or in the shops or at work? Because this is what we're about, right? Making disciples. That's our great commission from Jesus. It's not to make you feel bad, but, you know, come on. This is what we're supposed to do. Grow God's kingdom on earth by proclaiming the gospel. We're the church. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Sarah Brown and David Tidmus in my class at Mayflower School, Billericay, who said, come and see this guy, J. John. He's speaking tonight at Sun Corner. And I went along. I was 14. And, wow, my whole life changed because of that. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for their bravery and their the simple invitation. Come and see. Now, remember my friend Phil's story about the guy at the bus stop and about stepping out of the comfort zone. Sometimes we need to do that for God to do something in us and make us a bit bolder. And it's okay to have some perceived failures evangelically, you know. Things go wrong occasionally, or we have a bit of a clumsy, awkward conversation, because each time we step out, we get stronger and bolder. Not arrogant, but more aware of how to communicate truth to people. And we do it in our own way, in the power of the Spirit. And he teaches us. It's important to step out of the comfort zone. Last year, when we run the Hope Explore course, I felt that I needed to contact a guy called Rich, who'd been coming to St. Paul's for on and off, you know, not a heavy attender, shall we say. Probably saw him, I don't know, 6 or 7 times a year. I thought, well, I'll go and invite him, because I've been out for a meal with him and I've been to the pub with him. But I hadn't seen him for ages because of lockdown. You know what lockdown did to church attendance? Yeah, we don't need to go into that. But it's been hard, hasn't it? Some people you never see again, or you think, oh, when are you going to come back? Or, anyway, I got the invite card for Hope Explored. I walked up the road to his house, and like the courageous person I was, I stuck it quickly through the through the door flap and legged it. The next week, I think it was Easter Day, and he turned up with his boys, and I hadn't seen him for probably 2 years or so. And it was so good to see him. He didn't mention the course at all, and I thought, I better be British and not mention it either. Hopefully he'll mention it. And he didn't, and he never turned up. And I felt really sad, really dejected by that, if I'm honest. Thought, oh, when will I see him again? And I think I've seen him in the street once or twice since. And we've had that, you know, sort of skirting around conversation. It'd be great to see you again. must have a drink soon. The other day, I was writing this talk, and I thought, I need to invite Rich again. God laid him on my heart, so I did. I sent him the flyer that you saw on the notices, and I put it in a WhatsApp, and I said, it'd be great for you to come along. He messaged me back yesterday. Sorry, mate, can't make it. Can't do Wednesdays at the moment. And my heart sank. But you know what? I'm going to keep on inviting him. I'm going to keep on praying for him. I'm going to keep on meeting him in the street, no doubt. I'm going to keep on going for a drink where I can with him. Because I'm not going to give up. Because God's not giving up on him. And that's what we do. And every time we get a knock back, we carry on, don't we? We carry on saying, come and see. So finally, I was deeply moved writing this talk on Friday. I was. And I was deeply moved at Jesus speaking those words to Nathaniel. I saw you sitting under the fig tree when Philip came to call you. Jesus sees each one of us. He knows our situations. He knows our past, our present, our future. He loves us so much. And all he ever wants us to do is just come and bring our lives to him. And I was deeply moved also by Philip's words. Well, Jesus' words to Philip. Follow me. I was deeply moved by that. Because it's hard to be a Christian, isn't it? Don't you think? It's not easy. It's really hard to keep following Jesus when so much of life is against us and we go through such difficult times. But we keep going, don't we? We keep going. We keep following him. We keep bringing people with us as we journey onwards ourselves, despite all the setbacks and the knockbacks that we experience, despite all the rejections from family and friends whom we love, who we desperately want to know Jesus. We keep going. Because Jesus told these lads, whoever would be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Because it is hard, and Jesus knew it was hard. And the way that he took, the route that he took, was so hard. We'll never know just how hard it was for him. But what's on the other side? Resurrection, ascension, glory. And that's our trajectory too. So one day we will, each of us, stand before the King of Kings in that courtroom of heaven, as we heard in Revelation 5. And I don't want to be standing there empty-handed. I want to be like my namesake, Philip, the lover of people. All right? I want to be like him and know that as I stand before Jesus, know that I invited as many Nates as possible to discover the Lord who knows them and loves them. Amen.
Amen. As you know, we meet before the service starts, and anyone is always welcome to join us. But we spent some time just waiting on God for what he wanted to say, and we'd been looking briefly at that passage so beautifully expanded by Phil for us in John 1. And the first thing was that we should underline this phrase, come and see. Got to be really strong in our minds. Then a verse from Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, where it says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And the word was that God is a God of increase and fruitfulness. Someone said that they felt that someone here was feeling as if they were out in the cold. And God says, come to me and I will warm you up. You need to think that one through at several levels. And if there's anyone feeling down, God will lift you up. For he is the way, the truth, and the life. It will be the pleasure of myself and Diane to be here during the last hymn. And if anything that's been said this morning, here in this moment, through Phil's sermon, or anything that you think, do you know what? I need someone to pray with me. Please come out. We'd be honored to pray with you. Thank you.